Hey, this is Steven Stevens, your favorite 15-year-old motherfucking wrestling champion. And if you don't listen to the Fatitude Era, I'm going to kick your motherfucking ass.
Fuck you, you're wrong. Fuck you, we're right.
Welcome back to Cleveland's greatest punk rock wrestling podcast, The Fatitude Era. I'm your host, Jackknife Jess Smith, joined by Flab Patterson himself.
You can't do that 2 weeks in a row.
All right, fine. I'll change
it. I mean,
it
was different. I mean, yeah, you can. I mean, there's plenty of stuff you can do. I'm El Hordano Diablo.
XXL Pac.
I like that.
Yeah. And we are joined as well by our third
3X Pac.
Yeah, 3X Pac. We are joined by our third mic, the computer of pro wrestling himself, Dr. Dewey Dynamite. Say hello.
Hey, how you doing? Right?
You just do the fucking, who used to do that?
Zbyszko.
Zbyszko, that's, yeah. A little Larry Zbyszko. You're Mike Tenay, you're not Zbyszko. Get out of the Nitro era, man.
Right.
You're TNA. DNA.
DNA.
Drew Nonstop Action.
Yeah. I'd watch that show.
Why not?
Yeah, I mean.
I would watch Drew call a show by himself. I'd step in every once in a while to help you out through the lulls.
He's just going to be a Joey Styles, basically. Just like that's, oh my God, there's a new segment.
Well, dude, I was telling Chelsea about us recording last week's episode, and I told her about, us booking the Black pay-per-view, and I told her that we did commentary teams as well, and I told her my first one. She's like, oh, that's good. I was like, but then I went back on it, and she's a huge R-Truth fan, and I was like, it should have been R-Truth and Little Jimmy. She was like, that's fucking brilliant.
10 out of 10 would watch.
That was like when Zach was like, I can't top that.
Yeah. When I was messaging my girlfriend while we were recording that, and she was just like, how's it going? And I'm like, I'm good. We're booking a Black pay-per-view. And she just sends back like a bunch of question marks. Like, what the fuck? But yeah, all in all, I was happy with how that went about. So thanks again to Zach Schildwachter for coming on and being our commish. Appreciate that.
So the only thing that I redo is I throw this afterwards is like change my commentary team to R-Truth, Little Jimmy, and then I would have a celebrity guest commentary, and that would be Samuel Jackson.
I don't know if they'd be cleared for fucking TVPG if Samuel Jackson's on there.
That certainly would not be. But, I mean, I booked New Jack on it, so that's certainly not TVPG.
Have you ever seen the clip of him answering the question where he's like, does Samuel Jackson like anime? Oh,
Sam Jackson?
Yeah.
No, I have not seen that.
Yeah, he's answering like the questions, and it's just like the first, it's like the Google search results.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you take off the thing and you answer the question and everything like that. So this is great.
Samuel L. Jackson like anime?
Yes, I do. Hentai too.
Afterwards. Anyway, get a job.
I'm working on it. But if you're looking to help out the Fatitude Era in the meanwhile, I have decided to start whoring myself on Fiverr. So
I don't know what that is.
Fiverr is a site where you can publish gigs to do like a service to provide for cheap. So if you're listening to this and you're just like, I want to start my own podcast and shit like that, record your audio, send it to me, pay me $10, I'll edit it for you and make it sound all fancy and professional and all that.
That's
shit.
That's a fucking steal. So if you are looking to do a podcast, definitely hit Jess up because he's whoring himself out for fucking handjob money and he's giving you a fucking anal.
Yep. And also
audio anal.
Audio anal. Yeah. So that's the name of my new podcast. And
Audio Anal.
Right.
Just sounds of people getting fucked in the ass?
Yeah, sounds of shit getting pushed in.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
No, but...
Fudge packing?
Right.
I fucking hate that term so much.
Right? Because, so bad. Because you feel bad for people that work at Mally's Chocolate, and you're just like...
I mean, dude, like, I can't even imagine being, like, somebody who does that and, like, how many morons probably say that to them. It's just like, get the fuck out.
Oh, yeah, it probably never ends.
No.
But, yeah, so, you know.
That's not why we're here. We're here to talk about wrestling.
Yeah, but I have to whore myself out first. Podcast editing up to an hour for $10. So if you, you know, get around with your friends talking to some microphones or even just one microphone, I will still edit it for $10. Converted to high quality MP3 with all your show's information added to it for another $5. If you need a logo for that, that is a $5 job that I do. I will design your logo. You can see my work on the Church Absurd podcast, the Fickle Fanboy podcast. The Ad Hominem Attack Show podcast.
Your Facebook page.
Yeah, my Facebook page. But I do a lot of podcast logos and stuff like that. So for $5, you can do that. Or if you want a commercial recorded to promote your shit, just hit me up. I'll record it for $5 and you'll get background music and I'll follow any instructions you got. If you want to give me a script, that's fine. If you want me to wing it, that's fine. But it's only $5. There's a link to the Fiverr page below. I'd appreciate any support in the meantime because... Papa's got bills to pay, so, you know. But moving on, it is time to talk about what is currently going on in pro wrestling. So it is time for the one, the only current main event.
Current main event. Current main event.
That's right, current main events, where we take the time to take a look at what is currently going on. And what is currently going on? Goldberg is champion, and that sucks. So... Moving on, AEW.
Revolution was fucking amazing. It was arguably their best pay-per-view they've done. I thought it was better than All Out. I thought it was certainly better than Full Gear.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it was, you know, on par with Double or Nothing, if not better.
Do you think that Revolution is going to be their WrestleMania?
It could. I know.
No.
All Out. All yeah. Out or whatever they do in Chicago every September, end of August. That's their WrestleMania for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just like if you think about it, you know, Jericho won the title there. You know, that's going to be their Mania. But like if they're smart, they'll just book all the pay-per-views to be huge, which is what they've done, and that's the smart way to do it.
Okay. What were some standout matches in your opinion?
Jesus, I'm going to have to pull up the card.
I got it right here.
All right, go ahead, and I'll give my thoughts as we...
Let's see.
God, I sound like an asshole when I said that. I'll give my thoughts. Gives a shit.
Starting on the pre-show, you had the Dark Order versus...
Which we missed. little preface on that is I ordered the show. I've never had anything but problems with Bleacher Report. Live. Never had anything but problems. Every time we try to watch a show, it's a fucking fiasco. So I ordered it the day before. Like, okay, this will lessen any problems we may or may not have.
Mm-hmm.
When did I get the show on? Was it like 7:55?
Yeah.
It took me an hour to figure out because like it kept telling me I was logging in with my Bleacher Report Live. And it was telling me I still had to pay for the fucking pay-per-view. It was like $50. Like, I had another 50 to, like, throw at it, and I would have gotten my money back. But I'm sitting there like, what the fuck? So I'm, like, logging into every fucking email I have trying to figure this bullshit out. When all I literally had to do was click on the buy thing, and then it told me, oh, you already bought this. Here you go. And it fucking popped right up. I'm like, God damn it, dude.
Right.
That was annoying. So we missed, go ahead, yeah. That match. Well, we saw the very tail end of it.
Yeah, it was Dark Order versus SCU.
And that at the end of it, Colt Cabana came out to help save SCU. And then...
Which it's been confirmed completely that Colt Cabana is now AEW.
Well, he said... I saw an interview with him, and he said that they basically gave him... You know, he's All Elite. He's part of the roster, but... He is also allowed to go do other shit.
So it's like Wu-Tang Clan, basically, where, you know.
Colt Cabana is the Wu-Tang Clan of wrestling. He's the RZA of wrestling.
No, I don't know. I don't know if he's the RZA. I mean, maybe Inspector Deck, but...
But yeah, so he's going to be doing, I think he's going to be doing that NWA, which is good for him. He's always working.
Yeah.
So he came out, Dark Order started beating him down too, and then Dark Order stopped. And they, because some music was playing and some hooded figure comes out, like they're, you know, oh, the Exalted One. It was Chris Daniels, just threw off his fucking shit and started whooping ass. So that was cool.
Yeah.
I bet
Shear was pretty excited about that.
Yeah, what I was surprised about is that was on the pre-show. Like because there's only two, well, I mean, we'll get there, but there was only two things I didn't like about the show. And either one of those could have gone on the pre-show. Nobody would have known the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Thoughts? Do you have thoughts?
I mean,
do you think?
No.
He goes, no.
He doesn't think.
Let me think about that.
He just calculates and processes. That's all he does.
Dude, no thinking here. He's not sentient.
Occasionally, he end tasks.
Not responding.
Right.
Control Alt Delete.
Open Task Manager.
Control Alt Drew-Leet.
There's a T-shirt.
That is not only a T-shirt. That is a character.
Right.
You're gonna grow out your hair. We're gonna dye part of it.
Yeah.
But no, we're gonna give him the reverse Matt Hardy. We're gonna shave that one part of his head and then grow out the rest of it.
The ultimate Drew-Leet.
Copyright? Fantasy era.
Yeah. You heard it here first, folks, and that's the only place you'll ever be able to hear
IP,
it.
IP? What the fuck is that? All right, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, I myself didn't watch that match, so I don't have...
Yeah, Drew was actually getting the pizza at that time, but we weren't watching it either, right. So
it was only fair.
Yeah.
But then switching to the opening of the show, you had Jake Hager defeat Dustin Rhodes.
That is what I have to say about that match. It started off really weird with Jake Hager making out with his fucking wife at ringside, like straight up tongue, and they showed it. It was very uncomfortable for everybody watching.
At least it's not his kid, just saying.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Because there's that one pay-per-view where Titus O'Neil kissed his kid on the mouth, and it was really strange and weird.
It's Titus O'Neil. He can do what he wants. Yeah. I mean, except don't fuck. I mean, he wouldn't, but don't fuck a kid. That's just should go without saying. That match, it just... And then there was a spot where... so they had Dustin go up, and he didn't really kiss her. He just, like, you could just see the makeup, you know, his makeup on her face. It was just a weird spot. The match was clunky. Which I'm going to attribute that to Jake Hager because Dustin has done nothing but gold since he's been in AEW. It didn't do anything for me. Like, they broke his arm and it was just a fuck. It was a blow-off match that didn't really do anything for anybody.
Yeah, realistically, I mean, Jake Hager, he's, you know, it's fine. You know what I mean? Like, whatever, he's fine, but it's just a situation of, like...
I like him more as an outside threat than in the ring. Like, I like him as, like, a security
guard.
Just
like a muscle?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that would be fine for him to do, but, you know, he had a match on Dynamite last night as well. So
basically, he would be doing... what was that guy's name? Alex... Was it Alex something. The guy who used to rock around with The Miz. But when Miz first came out...
Alex Riley.
Oh, it was Alex Riley? Okay.
Yeah, Alex Riley. Like for the longest time, Alex Riley would just, like, pimp around with The Miz, and, like, just, you know, he was, like, the idea was he was the security.
Yeah.
And everything like that. So that's kind of, like, the role you want for Jake Hager.
Yeah, but for, like, the entire inner circle. Like, he could come out with each guy, whereas, like, you have Wardlow is just with MJF. You know what I mean? So it wouldn't be the same thing. But, hey, they're going to do what they're going to do, and I don't really care.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on.
Next match was Darby Allin and Sammy Guevara.
Which they fucking, for what, the 10 minutes they were on screen, tore the fucking house down.
Right, because, I mean, it says here that, like, as far as, like, time goes...
Bell to bell.
Bell to bell is only 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But, realistically speaking, like, on camera, it was, like, good, like, 15, 10. 20 minutes.
Yeah, I would say 10 or 15.
Yeah.
Because, Darby got in the ring, and they just fucking started beating the shit out of each other. which is pretty dope.
Outside the ring for a good, like, 5 minutes or so, and then they got in the ring, and then it officially started.
Yeah, it officially. Because, like, was it you who was like, I don't think they rang the bell.
Yeah.
And then they mentioned it, and they were like, oh, they hadn't rang the bell yet. But, yeah, dude, fucking Sammy Guevara does a 630 onto Darby Allin on a table and lands on his side.
Eesh.
Yeah, I mean, he immediately grabbed his side. I mean, like, he pulled it off. It looked great, but... And then they were on the top of the top rope, and... They almost lost their foot. It looked like it was unplanned. That's how good it looked. He went up and did a Spanish fly. It looked great. That was good. That was a sleeper match for sure. It was really good.
Yeah.
Sammy Guevara is getting over on me big time.
And then up next, probably arguably early candidate for tag team match of the year, Young Bucks.
Tag team match of the lifetime, dude.
Yeah. Young Bucks versus Kenny Omega and Anna Page.
It was the best Young Bucks match I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah, that or their final match against the Hardys in Ring of Honor, right before the Hardys went back to WWE. They had a ladder war in Ring of Honor, and that was a killer match. But this was just something else, man. Mm-hmm. It was spectacle from beginning. I mean, even Cornette. Like, I listened to his review of it, and Cornette was like, this is probably the closest the Young Bucks ever got to me, like, liking them. And the guy who he hosts this podcast with, Brian Last, he's like, I prefaced this by Jim saying, he goes, ignore any rules that you would think. And he goes, you might actually enjoy the match. And it was. It was storytelling from front. Like, everything they did had a reason. And it was really good. The Bucks kind of started working heel in the match. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I can't recommend that enough.
Yeah. All right.
And then up next, real quick, we can just kind of like skim over this one real quick.
I hate saying that.
Nyla Rose and Chris Statlander.
I can't remember on what podcast they said, oh, it was a good match. Or maybe it was on one of the YouTube shows. Bullshit. It was awful. I was praying the match would end so that one of them would not get hurt. It was one of the worst matches I've seen in the last year. It was bad.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, that power bomb, it was a power bomb, right? From the top row.
Yeah.
Like, I thought they were both going to break their fucking neck. So.
Might be time to go back to to run the ropes.
Yeah. Delete.
Yeah.
Of course, up next then you had MJF versus Cody.
Which was good, for me, did not live up to the hype. It was good. There were some really cool, good spots in it. I liked the Wardlow cage match better.
Well, I mean, do you think maybe because this is their first time meeting, kind of like build up to something bigger than this?
Definitely. I don't know if it's going to happen right now. It shouldn't. But, yeah, I definitely think that... Cody and MJF just work very well together, so I don't think that's the end. I mean, that Cody could use that to get MJF over for the next 2 fucking years, you know? So I dug it. I still liked it. It just wasn't as good. And anything after that tag match was going to be hard to top. So.
Well, I mean, you know, it's like, it's like what they said about WrestleMania 29, you know? Punk and Undertaker were not the main event. And when they left the stage, everybody was saying they should have been the main event.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, realistically, that's where you end it. But yeah, moving on.
Yeah. And up next, we kind of missed this one due to technical difficulties, is Pac versus Orange Cassidy.
We missed the first part of it, yeah. But it was definitely what we saw of it was really good. Yeah. Really, really good. If you didn't know what Orange Cassidy could do in the ring, you know now. Mm-hmm. Like, he's fucking awesome. That was really, it was fun.
And last but not least, of course, John Moxley and Jericho.
It was great. I mean, it's everything you would expect out of a main event with two guys that big. Lots of shenanigans from the Inner Circle. Highlight of Jericho highlight of the match for me is when he did the spot that he did with Omega, where he grabs the camera and then like points and flips off the guy. He did that again, which was really good. And Moxley got poked in the other eye, and so he played as if he was blind, And then, so Jericho, oh, wait, I'm sorry. Jericho highlight of the match was when he blinded Moxley again, got out of the ring, rang the bell himself, grabbed the belt, grabbed a mic, and declared himself the winner. Classic Jericho shit. But Moxley, like, selling the other eye,
yeah.
And then he pulls off the patch, and he can see, and he just fucking lays waste to Jericho. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was a very fun main event.
Yeah. Oh. And so Moxley going over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, realistically, as we said, most likely would happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I
had no doubt that that was going to happen, especially with Jericho going on tour. Jericho he's got a 3-year contract. He's going to be in and out. He's, you know, Fozzy's very important to him. So, and plus, I'll get to see him in May.
Yeah.
That'll be 2 times I've seen Jericho live in 1 year. I think that's it. Oh no, I guess if you
please
count,
refrain from coming on the podcast.
If you count All In and Double or Nothing within 1 year, then that's fine. But and then Dynamite was, as I was telling you guys before, it was not their best episode, but also not bad. There was some Jake the fucking Snake, dude.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Yeah.
So I my whole standpoint is. I have no complaints really about Revolution. I mean, there was snafus, but that happens.
It's growing pains.
Mm-hmm. And realistically, like, the stuff that was good about Revolution made up
great.
For it.
Yeah, it was so. Great. That's the thing is, like, there's, you know, people who listen to this show that hit me up and tell me I talk too much about AEW. That's fine. But for the first time in my adult life, wrestling is really fun for me again. That's not like indies, you know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. I get to enjoy a big company and guys that I watched come up. I mean, I was a Cody fan from the very, very get-go of his career when he was teaming with Ted DiBiase Jr. And then once Legacy happened, like, I'm a huge Orton mark, so
yeah.
Yeah, it was and I love Ted DiBiase Jr. actually too. It was a shame that he
didn't get over.
He stopped wrestling so early.
Yeah.
Like, I think he, like, does real estate or something now, I think. So.
You know he offers million-dollar deals. You know he does. He's just like, oh, we got the million-dollar deals. Do you think he has a black manservant with him, too?
I hope not.
Well, they did have Virgil with him for a little bit.
Oh, they did. I forgot about that. Wrestling superstar.
Right.
Virgil.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right. One last thing I want to cover. On current main events is currently blowing up TMZ right now, and it is probably my favorite clip on the internet, which is MJF flipping off a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't seen this clip, so help me God, go on. I know, and TMZ is like the cancerous butthole of the internet. It really is, but this clip is so worth watching because the look on MJF's face, he is just so disgusted with the fact that the 7-year-old kid is standing near him and he just holds his middle finger.
It was like a signing. That's
right. But like, he just holds his middle finger up to this kid. And I will say this, Cody Rhodes did very class act. He reached out to the people afterwards and he was like, hey, I understand your kid was kind of bummed out about it. Next time you come to an AEW event, you'll get the VIP treatment. We'll keep you away from MJF. And then he put out a disclaimer on Twitter saying, disclaimer, if you pay for a meet and greet with MJF, you will get MJF.
Yeah.
And my favorite part of this whole thing was that TMZ reached out to MJF for comment on this whole thing, and his comment was, and I quote, fuck them kids.
Yeah, he's great. That's like, if people think that, you know, they know wrestling is fake and blah blah blah, just go meet MJF. Like,
well, and understand that, you know, a lot of people, like, you know, and MJF has addressed this in promos before, but people are saying that he's the next Chris Jericho and everything like that. Here's a story about Chris Jericho. Jericho was in an elevator. A mom and her kid gets on.
Yep.
She asks him for an autograph.
It was a dad and his kid.
It was a dad?
Yep.
Okay. Ask him for an autograph. He looks the dad dead in the face and just says no, and then proceeds to stare straight forward and ignore them the rest of the elevator ride.
That was 2008. Yeah. 2007, 2008, whenever he cut his hair and he was bad guy Jericho.
Yeah.
In the suit and tie and shit.
Yeah.
It's good. That was around the same time that he, you know, quote, end quote, punched that lady in the face. That never happened.
Yeah. But the point I'm getting at is If they're a heel on TV, they're going to be a heel in real life. If they are,
if they're good,
if they're good.
Yeah.
So realistically, like, just know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. 100%.
And, you know, like, maybe don't bring your 7-year-old kid who
doesn't
understand.
To meet MJF.
Yeah. Like, of all the people, you know what I mean? That's like bringing your 7-year-old to meet New Jack. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, and I mean, the other thing is, too, like, with MJF, like, you get pissed at him flipping off the kid or whatever, like, go after him. He's tough. Like, he's legitimately tough, so don't try and fuck with the dude.
Yeah. But, yeah, we're going to leave it at that for current main events. I think that was some good coverage. Mm-hmm. But now it is time for this week's Top 10 List. As always, this Top 10 List is brought to you by the lovely folks at Counting Worm Shop, your one-stop shop for oddity, artwork, and jewelry made up of mummies, taxidermy, sheep eyeballs. They just got a delivery in of a bunch of dead snakes. It's really good stuff. So check them out, Etsy.com/shop/CountingWormShop, Facebook Counting Worm Shop, or on email, CountingWormShop@gmail.com. If you want to meet them in person and buy some shit, the Oddities and Curiosities Expo in Columbus on May 9th and in Detroit on July 18th. Or check them out at the Odd Mall on May 2nd and 3rd in Akron, Ohio. Counting Worm Shop. Everything can be beautiful, even the dead, except for Bray Wyatt's championship belt. That is 100% true.
Except for Bray Wyatt's career.
Yeah, but that's not his fault. That's creative.
Not
fault.
At all.
So
stupid
yeah.
idea from bad creative.
Yeah. Oh, well.
That's when Jericho said that on that episode on the Dynamite, it was fucking great.
Yeah. All right. Well, it is top 10 things that we'd rather see/watch than Goldberg being the champion. Number 10.
Number 1 on Jordan's list. 1 through 10. Everything ever that ever existed.
Ever.
The Gathering on fucking live stream. I'd rather watch that.
Yeah. I don't know why they haven't done that, to be honest with you. Like, have the
I'm
Gathering
surprised, live. Yeah, I'm surprised they
because, like, every other fucking festival does a live stream. Anyway, number 10, Big Show using a knockout punch on our sphincters.
Wait.
That we'd rather watch than Goldberg being champion.
We want to watch Big Show punch us in the asshole?
Yes. Because
okay.
It's better than...
That's a big fist, man.
It's better than Goldberg being champion.
I don't
I'm
want
saying.
A regular fist by my butt. Let alone Big Show's.
Right. Number 9, Scott Steiner trying to complete the formula equation for time travel.
Yes, if he hasn't figured it out already.
Right. Number 8, Scott...
Goodwill hurting.
Goodwill hurting. Sacrifice. Number 8, Scott...
Senor Joe! It's Samoa, but okay.
The island of Senora.
Why don't you just call him Senor Jose?
Right.
He probably thinks he's Mexican.
He could have backpedaled, made
oh,
it work.
By the way, things I would rather see Goldberg be the champion. Anything's better than Cody's tattoo right now. And I'm not trying to be a dick, but that's just a very, very peculiar place to put your second tattoo. On your neck.
Yeah.
And it's big.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Teach their own.
Number 8, Scott Hall detoxing.
I know what it's like to detox. That's not fun for anybody.
Exactly, but we'd rather watch that than Goldberg being champion.
Fair enough.
Number 7, Hordano back in high school sniffing pills off his math book.
I would make that entertaining. I was entertaining myself, so how could it not be entertaining to other people?
All right, number 6, Benoit family therapy sessions.
I don't think they had any of those.
Didn't get a chance. They're a therapist with St. Peter.
Next!
Is it like a trend now? They make at least one Benoit joke per episode?
Basically.
Yeah, that's a quota.
Yeah.
All right, number 5, Snuka trying to remember the lyrics to I Used to Love Her But I Had to Kill Her by Guns N' Roses.
I was going to say Snuka remembering anything.
I had to put her in a hotel bathroom.
Brudda.
All right. Number 4, Steve Austin continuing the ringmaster gimmick.
Yeah, I guess. I watched, we watched Mania 12 at work today, and this guy was like, oh, this is when he was stunning Steve Austin, and like, I just couldn't help myself. I was like, no, he was the ringmaster. He was Stunning Steve Austin in WCW.
You are literally the definition of like that meme where it's like a fucking fat nerd just going, actually.
Yeah, I know. I'm fully aware.
All right. Number three, Hulk Hogan adopting Virgil as his black manservant.
Nope.
Would watch it.
Nope.
No.
It would just be so awkward.
Yeah, I don't need to see that. I top out at Kevin spilling the chili on The Office. Like, that's cringeworthy for me, and I'm happy. Like, that and Impractical Jokers. That show's cringeworthy sometimes, but it's awesome.
I mean, that's the whole basic.
I know.
You know, it's an embarrassing situation.
Oh, it's so funny. I can't wait for the movie to come out.
Right. This is what pisses me off, though, is I have seasons 1 through 5 on DVD. Mm-hmm. That's the only DVDs they have out.
How many seasons do they have?
They're like 8.
Jesus.
Yeah, but they won't put out the DVDs because they claim no one buys DVDs anymore.
Just then, you can probably purchase them. You can probably purchase the seasons like on iTunes or whatever.
Yeah, but you
like
know,
digitally.
But you know me, I'm a physical media guy. All right, number two, Mick Foley trying to walk in a straight line.
That's unfair because for our entertainment. He beat his body. I mean, however, I've heard he's in much better shape since he got that last surgery.
Yeah.
So that's good.
That's the thing. That would be a sad situation, but still better than
when
watching
you walk,
Gopher.
When you say walk in a straight line, do you mean like walking or walking like Mick Foley does, kind of like sideways always?
No, I mean trying to walk
like,
in a straight line.
Remember how he used to come out in WrestleMania 2000 and No Mercy? Yeah. Like, he's always like, yeah. I wish people could see what I'm doing. He's like walking with his head first.
It looks
but
like
his
shoulder. Like Renfield from Dracula.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like
that's
like a horse stepped on his shoulder.
Like he's a hunchback, but not a hunchback.
Indeed. All right. No, the number one. The number one thing we'd rather see other than Goldberg being champion is Owen Hart doing bungee jumping lessons.
I hope you're proud of yourself.
Very. Barry. And that has been this week's top 10 list. As you can tell, we're really fucking over Goldberg being champion. So, brought to you by Counting Worm Shop, Etsy.com/shop/Counting Worm Shop, Facebook Counting Worm Shop, or on email, countingwormshop@gmail.com. We are going to be right back on this episode of the Fatitude Era.
I have all this information about pro wrestling, and yet I know it's coming from a biased source that's probably paid off by WWE. God damn it. Where am I supposed to go to get non-biased information?
Have you tried WrestleVoid? That's right, wrestling fans. If you're sick of the same biased bullshit that is clearly paid off by the big suits of pro wrestling corporate business, check out WrestleVoid, a corn-fed wrestling zine. Each quarter, you can pick up top-notch articles detailing AIW, AEW, WWE, Impact, the Indies, and even the juggalos that wrestle in the backyard next door to your cousin's house. Pick up a copy of the latest WrestleVoid at these fine retailers in the Cleveland area.
WrestleVoid is currently available at The Loop in Tremont. That's The Loop in Tremont.
And I know what you're thinking. God damn it, I don't even live in Cleveland. Well, guess what, you little bitch? They're online at WrestleVoid.BigCartel.com. Or on Twitter at WrestleVoid, or on Facebook. You can even hit up El Hordano on Instagram and ask him to send you one and see magnificent candid shots of what wrestling shirt he's wearing that day. Are you gonna stick to the dirt sheets? Fuck you! Does your wife not want you buying wrestling zines? Divorce her! Do your kids think you're too old for wrestling? Kill them! Do all your friends think that WrestleVoid isn't a legitimate publication? Sacrifice their soul to Satan. Pick up your copy of WrestleVoid today and follow the void.
And we are back to this exciting episode of the Fatitude Era. Your host, Jackknife Jess Smith, joined by El Hordano Diablo and Dr. Dewey Dynamite. And good news, folks. It is very good news. We have questions from the audience.
It's time to play the game.
Answer some questions.
All right. The first question comes from Tim, friend of yours.
Friend of mine.
Didn't he do the ever famous Hordano's going to Ireland prank call?
Yes, he did. He did all the prank calls that are about me. And then he always wanted to call. He wanted to call some country in Africa, and say that I was, I think it was Africa, say that I opposed like some dictator there or something like that. But he said it got too choppy. He was like, I don't know about that one. So I can't remember if he ended up doing it or not. But I know one of them for sure is on YouTube. I think it's just called Hornano Goes to Ireland, maybe.
Yeah. If you want to see the video, it's up on the channel Slick Tulip.
You ever heard this before, Drew?
No.
Oh, you're in for a treat.
Nurse Fernandez speaking.
Guess who's coming to town?
Santa Claus?
Hordano Diablo, and he wants to play at the Locked Bar.
Hello?
Yeah, is this the manager over there at the Locked Bar?
Yeah, what can I do for you, my friend?
Yeah, guess who's coming to town?
Obama.
Hordano Diablo.
Close.
2014 World Tour.
He goes nice.
The dictatorship of Hordano, and he wants to come play the Locked Bar.
Excellent. That's great.
Yeah.
What does he play?
Well, it's punk music. It's punk music. It's pretty chaotic, but he really gets the local town of Limerick going. We got loads of fans over there, about a couple hundred. We got him on lockdown right now in the Rubber City, feeding him a steady diet of Molson Triple X. Okay, and he wants to come in there.
Nice.
April 4th.
Sounds great.
Okay.
What do I need to do?
Okay, well, during the afternoon, we want to have just a little parade throughout the town. We already talked to some fans. Okay, we already talked to about a couple hundred fans. We want to have a little parade through the town of Limerick.
Yeah.
Okay, we want to hoist him up. Okay, we're going to carry him through. He's going to come to the venue. That's where the parade's going to end at. And he's going to yell at the audience, you know, the crowd that's out there for him. He says, this is Hordano's house now. I'm in charge. And this is going to get the crowd riled up, fired up.
Sounds good.
Okay? And you know his shtick. He loves to incite the crowd and challenge them. So this is what we're going to do. After he launches into his set, halfway through it, we're going to have some of his servants come out. If this is all right with you guys, they're going to lay down a bed like a putting green, but it's going to be covered in shamrocks. You understand?
Yeah.
It's going to be covered in shamrocks, and Hordano's going to leap off the stage. He's going to leap off the stage into the bed of shamrocks, just ripping them up, trying to incite the audience.
Okay, so?
He's going to play his hit single, flopping around the Christmas tree at that point in time.
Yeah.
Okay, and the people...
when is he coming?
April 4th. April 4th. It's a Saturday, okay? He's going to play the song Flopping Around the Christmas Tree, okay? We're going to get one of his people that come with him, one of his servants. He's going to be dressed up as St. Patrick himself. And the crowd knows what's coming because he's got a song that's based around this. But Patrick is going to come out there. He's going to say, I now cast the snakes out of Ireland. Okay, Hordano shoves him aside. He says, I'm casting you out. He picks him up by the shoulder, the seat of his pants, launches him out into the crowd. Okay, and then he and then he breaks into the St. Patrick's Day strut.
All right.
And he's going to strut all over the venue, okay, with the audience. He's just going to strut his stuff, and that's going to be the grand finale. He's going to strut around, St. Patrick's Day strut.
Are you looking to have some drinks there, or what?
Yeah, we're going to have some drinks. He wants extra stout draft Guinness. Because he's got a rider. He's going to need a couple dozen Molson Triple X.
I would be dead.
What is that?
He hit Molson Triple X. It's a Canadian brew. Do you guys got that?
We don't have any of that, no.
Okay, he's going to need the most potent brew you got.
I would say it will be O'Hara's.
O'Hara's? Okay, yeah, because he can probably set a world record. Drinking the most O'Hara's. And he's going to incite all the Irishmen. Is that all right with you guys?
Yeah, sure. Just sure, give me a ring closer to the date, and we'll arrange something. Is that all right?
Yeah, April 4th. He's coming in there. He's going to leap into the bed of shamrocks, rip them up.
Yeah, are you organizing the bed of shamrocks, or who's organizing that?
We'll bring those, because we want to incite, you know, challenge the audience. We're going to have two servants come out with these medieval jousting poles. It's Mr. Hordano Diablo. It's the dictatorship.
Can you email me a link to him?
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. It's the dictatorship Hordano tour, and he wants to invade Ireland, and he wants to come to Limerick.
Okay. Sounds a bit kind of religious, is it?
No, no. I mean, he's very anti-religious. You know what I'm saying? He's the trio's number one confidant. So that
is
should.
Is he a singer or is he like a god or something? Or what is he?
He's a singer, but you know, people treat him as a god. People definitely treat him as a god. I mean, there's a lot of.
I've never even heard of him.
Yeah, there's a lot of theatrics.
Send me an email, so I'll some of his stuff, and I'll see, and I'll see if it would suit our pub, you know?
Okay, yeah, because that would be great, because we're going to do there. Next day, we're going over to Montego Bay. We're going to take a high-speed boat over there.
Great.
Okay, and he's going to come over. He's going to incite every Irishman in the town.
Okay, send me an email, so we'll check it out.
Okay, great.
See you, man.
See ya.
Oh, I would like to. I would like to add a. No, this isn't even context. I would like to add that the guy who made that call. I've known. He's the one who named me El Hordano Diablo in like 2008. And
he's your Spanish teacher.
He knows Spanish. He Tim is a sociology professor. He's got a book coming out later this year. Like a legit book. He's a published author. And that's what he did with his spare time a few years back. And I couldn't be happier. Tim is one of my oldest and closest, dearest friends. I love him very much, and he's fucking hilarious, dude. So if you want, you can go check that out. Share the video. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. All right. Well, he had a very specific question, and the question is, what is our thoughts on Mantar?
Of course Tim would ask this. I'm surprised it wasn't about, like, Warlord or fucking the Beverly Brothers or any other. Like, I think I'm into, like, weird niche wrestling stuff. Tim picks the weirdest shit. And, like, he's got, like, some custom Hasbros and stuff. And I think, he'll correct me, but I think he got the Beverly Brothers as custom fucking Mattels. Like, who does that? Yeah, but yeah, man, what are my thoughts on Mantar?
Yeah.
Anything that Jim Ross has to say about it, I agree with, which is not a glowing review.
Right. Mantar is the greatest. It's what it's, was 100%.
No, he's not a goat. He's a mantar. What are those? That's like half
minotaurs.
What? But what? What's a mantar?
No, that's it's
little half man, half what?
Half minotaur.
What's the difference between a centaur and a? Oh wait, one has a horse body and is a
one
man.
The other one has like a cow head, bull head, basically.
Sounds satanic.
Yeah.
I could get into that.
You're like, okay, I'm 100% behind Mantar now.
Drew, thoughts?
Yeah,
Your dream match is Mantar versus Bruno Sammartino.
Yeah, right.
Hour-long Broadway.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, I think that covers it. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean,
you getting the blue screen of death?
Yeah.
You ask a question about Mantar, you break Drew. Fuck out of here.
I'm gonna put like dial-up noises in here and shit. All right, so there you go. There you go, bud. I hope you enjoy the answer to that question.
And then when Drew gets back, you've got mail. He's back.
Right. All right, moving on to the next question from...
Drew's AOL 4.0, man. That was the best version.
Yeah. All right, so moving on, the next question comes from Ben Center of the Center of the Universe podcast.
Who will be on this show soon.
At some point.
Yeah.
Number one, who is the most mishandled talent in WWE history?
Ooh, Jesus Christ.
Do we have time for a top 20? Bray Wyatt, my opinion, Bray Wyatt.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying basically the same thing for years. Ricochet, because they've buried him now. Mm-hmm. He's done.
Yeah.
I'd have to say, but I'm going to stick with Bray Wyatt for sure.
I think they could have done more with Chris Masters.
Okay. All right. I mean, if you think about like guys like that, like, you think Chris Masters could have been like a top tier guy?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I mean, they were gonna go places with Mr. Kennedy. Oh, he got himself fired though, didn't he?
Yeah.
Kennedy.
But he also got himself over.
Yeah, he did.
No, not really. I think it was basically like Orton that put the word in with Vince saying like he's like not a safe worker.
Oh. Randall Keith.
Yeah.
Randall Keith.
I don't like him.
Oh, yeah. I like Ken Anderson. Right. I do. He's good. It seems like he did just fine for himself, though. Like, he was, like, a big act in TNA, wasn't he?
Yeah. When he became Mr. Anderson again.
Which is, that's his real name, right?
Yeah.
Ken Anderson?
Yeah. The only reason, because, like, originally, Mr. Kennedy was supposed to be
Vince's
illegitimate son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what did we get out of that?
Hornswoggle McMahon. Yeah. I don't know. I'd say the most mishandled talent, personally, Owen Hart.
I can't disagree with that. I mean, however, I do think had that not happened, I think he would have been one of the top guys Ruthless Aggression era.
But that's what I'm saying. By mishandling him and making him go back to be, you know, the Blue Blazer gimmick and everything like that, and not letting him be himself, that right there led to easily one of the worst things to ever happen in the history of pro wrestling. And because of that, we lost a guy who still had a lot of good years left.
Oh, yeah.
So I would put that at mishandling talent, personally.
Yeah, that's
because as much as I love Bray Wyatt, at least the guy's still fucking alive.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say.
Yep.
Moving on, Ben had another question. What is your dream makeshift tag team?
Putting two guys together?
Yeah, like there's not, they don't come in together. That's just a makeshift tag team.
Like Omega and Hangman. Yeah. Drew, go first.
I'd say British Bulldog and Bruno Sammartino.
That's a powerful tag team. Two makeshift guys. Let's see. Who would be good in a tag team? I don't know, Jess, you got one yet?
Me personally?
Mm-hmm.
My dream already happened, so.
Who? Yeah.
Golden Truth, baby.
Oh. You know what? Historically, when they shove two guys together, the comedy ones are always the best.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, like, I mean, it's different when you factor in someone like Edge and Christian. Because
they came up together.
Yeah, they came up together. And also, you know, they were originally not a tag team. They were originally in the second, you know, they were originally in the Brood.
Yeah.
And then they left the Brood and then became the Edge and Christian that we know today.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't necessarily call them a makeshift tag team.
Yeah, no, not at all. Edge and Christian is synonymous with tag team to me. So right. I mean, you can't talk about TLC without saying Edge and Christian, which, you know, and they were... They have quite a few tag title reigns, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, not to mention that, like, that friendship between the two of them is legendary, so much so that even years after they were both retired, Edge and Christian show, that Totally Reeks of Awesomeness
came out. It's a great
show. You know what I mean? Like realistically, the amount of... The way that they can play off of each other, their on-screen chemistry is just unmatched, in my opinion.
I will say two guys that were put together that I loved, and honestly would probably be in my top five tag teams, would be Just Incredible and Lance Storm, the Impact Players. Mm-hmm. That's a great tag team. For me, that's a hard fucking question. Like, do you go by, like, is there, like, a gimmick that they're, you know, together, like, that kind of ties them together?
Oh, you mean like Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho?
Well, they're Canadian. those two together was gold. Let's see. My tag team would be Jericho and MJF, actually.
Really?
That would be a lot of fun, like, to see.
The father-son dynamic?
Well, I also think that there would be a lot of infighting with them. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like those two constantly trying to one up each other. Mm-hmm. I think would be really it would be good. And
so
it
would be like a buddy cop movie, kind of.
Yeah, but buddy bad guy.
Yeah. like they
buddy heel.
Like Austin, like if Austin Powers and Dr. Evil teamed up.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna say Jericho and MJF.
All right. Cool. Number three. If you got to pick your dream trainer to teach you to wrestle, who would it be and why?
Fuck. Who would teach me? I mean, There's a lot of factors to go into that, because you have to factor in who's training you, and you want somebody who's going to beat the shit out of you, so like to see if you can take it. But also, I don't want the shit kicked out of me all the time, so Hardcore Hallie's out.
Yeah.
To train me, let's see, guy who could work with big guys like myself. Who's really good in ring that trains people? You know what? Bubba Ray Dudley. That's who I would want to train me, because I would get the shit kicked out of me regularly. But we also have a similar build. He's just...
You feel like he could teach you to work in the best way?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And he's a super safe worker, so... Yeah. But he hits people like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Remember that story when they came back, and remember they brought Dreamer back for like a couple matches?
Yeah.
Remember the story that we were listening to Bubba Ray is telling when Tommy got in the ring and then got out, like tagged D-Von in, and Tommy was like, oh man, like I'm out of breath. Bubba Ray Dudley's like, yeah, because you got fucking fat.
Yeah, well, it's like, and then I remember for like fucking like months, they were just going back and forth on Twitter calling each other fat.
Oh, dude, the best, I saw one not too long ago. Maybe you sent it to me. I can't remember, Drew. I think it might have been you. Somebody sent it to me, and it was, I can't remember who the picture was of. I want to say it was like Pizza the Hut, and somebody posted it, and Bubba Ray replied, where'd you get that picture of Dreamer?
It's fucking great. So it's still going on all these years.
Yeah. That'd be what? When did they come back? 16?
It was 2015.
15? Yeah.
Because it was them coming back that really like made me start watching again.
Yeah.
And then that led to the creation of Fatitude Era, which was in 2015. So.
Wow. Yeah. Long time.
Yep.
All right.
All right, Drew.
Me, I would have to go with Stu Hart.
He would definitely kick the shit out of you.
Go in the Hart family dungeon?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be painful.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be pretty fucking painful.
Yeah, that's definitely legendary, like, for to be trained by. Hart. I mean, all the students that came out of there are all insanely good, except for, he is insanely good. He's just an asshole. Yeah. Teddy Hart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you hear Austin Aries was backstage at AEW?
Really?
I really hope they don't hire him. Just because he causes so many fucking problems.
I don't think they will. But realistically, they're probably aware of that and want to avoid that.
Oh, I'm sure they're aware of it. I mean, a lot of those guys have worked with him in the past. So.
Yeah. Okay. As far as who I'm going to have train me, because I'm thinking the same way that you're thinking, where it's like similar body build and everything like that could teach me how to work within my...
limits.
Yeah. Kevin Steen.
Ooh, that's a good answer. That's a really good answer.
I'm sorry. That's just my go-to. And I know technically he's Kevin Owens in WWE, but Kevin Steen.
Yeah, that's a really good answer.
Yeah.
Dream-wise, if he trained people, Okada. I would learn Japanese.
Right.
B, I would just be like, you're pretty.
I just have a feeling it would be like Kill Bill Volume 2, where he drops her, where he dumps the bride off with Gordon Liu's character, Pai Mei. And he's just, you know, you're like, he's just beating the shit out of you because you're just using your hands to eat rice.
I can use chopsticks, though. Fucking cretins who can't use chopsticks. Drew's giving me a peace sign.
Yeah, but yeah, that's my go-to.
How are you going to call yourself a fat guy? Can't eat with chopsticks. What the hell is this?
Right.
Who is this? Who is this computer?
Right. All right. So
what does HAL stand for again?
I don't know. I can't remember. It's been a while since I watched 2000.
It's something artificial life form, isn't it?
Yeah.
I can't remember what the H stands for, though. Hard.
Hard.
H-A-R-D.
Yeah. Okay. So
artificial. Sorry, I had to.
I didn't know we were going back into the porn characters.
No, I actually thought about that. I think we should bring it back.
You think so?
Yeah.
Make it a segment.
I mean, we haven't riffed in a while, like on that. So there's new guys.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. It's
Have you ever gone back and listened to the old episodes without you, Drew?
No.
Just give them a list of like three.
Yeah. Heil Hulkster, Royal Stomach Rumbles, and I don't know. Realistically, you could probably listen to the Best There Is episode.
Or the Sheer one.
Yeah, those are the three I'd recommend. Royal Stomach Rumbles, Heil Hulkster, and Let's Get Offensive.
I mean, not to like toot our own horn, but Heil Hulkster is where we really hit our stride.
Yeah, I mean, that's where you had the first Tie the Gatherer. That's where you had the...
There's lots. It's fun. Yeah, you'll... Yeah.
Hordana laments about me in that episode.
Oh, that's that one?
Yeah.
Right on. I was actually thinking about that today, too. I can't believe there's a guy. I mean, what? It's our fucking podcast. We talk about whatever we want. I was just thinking about old episodes we did and, like, fucking just stupid bullshit that we used to think was funny and probably still do.
I mean, I still laugh every time at Sexy Story Time with Chris.
I don't laugh at that. That was so uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable, but my favorite reaction is when you go, my brother can't listen to this episode.
I'm not. What? What the fuck? Steven's in the studio.
Yeah.
That's also a callback.
I doubt the mic picked that up. Yeah. I'm on dynamics now, man.
All right. So do we have any other questions?
No, that was the last question that we received on the Facebook page.
Yeah,
unless you got
we didn't.
Some.
No, we didn't get anything on Twitter. We'll get some questions for next week. I'll mine some questions.
Yeah. So now I want to change things up a bit. I want to look back at an epic moment in pro wrestling, and it's not Hordana's prank phone call. It is, you know, back in the day, we were right on the heels of the War on Terror. And slowly but surely going into Iraq. And this led to one of my favorite things to ever happen on WWE program, which is Big Papa Pump Scott Steiner debating about foreign wars to a Harvard graduate. So I want to take a look at this and, you know, just sort of get our thoughts on it and everything like that. And, you know, just take a moment. So this is Big Papa Pump out debating a Harvard graduate.
In order to bully smaller nations.
So,
and I ask you,
I can already tell what's going
where
on.
Does it end? Do we invade and overthrow every government that doesn't seem to share the worldview of our country's administration? Do we go invade Syria now? Or North Korea? Or do we only invade countries that have oil? Let's face it. This war is unnecessary and ludicrous.
Now, keep in mind, who owns the WWE? Vince McMahon,
mm-hmm.
friend of Donald Trump, and also a very conservative person. You know what I mean? So
I wouldn't say he's conservative. I'd say he's Republican.
Yeah.
Because he's not conservative. Look at all the bullshit they did in the Attitude Era.
Yeah. But either way, Scott Steiner.
I know what you meant, though.
Yeah. So clearly, the Harvard graduate is more left-leaning, more liberal, anti-war in Iraq. So here's where Scott Steiner
comes
in.
That's a pretty powerful point of view. Scott Steiner, your rebuttal.
See, throughout my career, I've wrestled a lot of countries.
One, he's wrestled a lot of countries. I'm going to count. All right, so one, he's wrestled a lot of countries. That's impressive, to say the least.
Yeah, he wrestled the entire country.
An entire country.
Taking out Luxembourg.
But without a shadow of doubt, the United States of America is the greatest country of them all. See, we have fought to make this the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Did he say we don't fought?
Yeah.
Okay, I wanted to make sure. I was trying to think if he said we don't fought or we've done fought, which is still grammatically incorrect.
He was probably meaning to say we've done fought.
And one of those freedoms
that's not what
is
he said.
Freedom
so
of speech, the right to state your opinion. But as the saying goes, opinions are like everybody has one. Even a master debater like yourself. See, we as a country, we didn't start this thing. Terrorists started this. Terrorism started this when they hijacked planes, flew into buildings on 9/11.
Okay, so how does that give you the right to invade a country? If terrorists did it, why can you invade one country? Why are you invading a country?
Because terrorists did it.
For the record, I would like to disclaim that if Scott Steiner were here saying this stuff right now, I would not be saying a fucking word.
Yes, sir. No, sir.
Terrorism started this.
What was that word? Can we hear that word again?
Terrorism started this in Iraq, has been known to harbor, finance, support, and even train terrorism. They started it. Terrorism started, not us.
I don't think Saddam Hussein was training Al-Qaeda members.
I know, but he said they've been known to train terrorism.
Is terrorism like a character that I missed at this time?
Yeah. He was a jobber.
Yeah.
Terrorism started, not us.
Terrorism started, not us. I've lost count like Scott Steiner.
Terrorism drew first blood on 9/11.
What is he, fucking Rambo? Terrorism drew first blood on 9/11. I want to get that tattooed on my chest.
Let's run that back.
Terrorism drew first blood on 9/11, and you can bet your sweet ass we're going to get even, and we're going to finish it.
That's like a Facebook shirt. That's like that's like something that would be on the back of some asshole shirt with a Trump sticker.
And a
which, by the way, that is the next Fatitude Era shirt. That little blurb.
Can we put the Punisher skull on it? Because there's got to be a Punisher
only if
skull.
It only if it has Scott Steiner's glasses and Scott Steiner's haircut.
Not even the haircut. It has the chainmail.
Yeah, perfect. That's a brilliant t-shirt.
He's wearing the chainmail in this. So. All right, so the crowd is all into this because
of
Merck.
The bottom line is there are thousands of Americans, men and women, who are fighting for our freedom, making the ultimate sacrifice. They're the real heroes, and I support them. So you, the Dixie Chicks,
all those Hollywood numbnuts. So is that numbnuts, N-U-T apostrophe S? Yeah.
I just love you, the Dixie Chicks. Because, you know, the Dixie Chicks are very anti-Bush.
I remember when that happened. I haven't said the Dixie Chicks come out of my mouth in a long time.
Right.
I sound like Scott Steiner.
That don't support our troops.
He wanted to say go fuck themselves so bad. They can go straight to hell.
Or
France, same difference.
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, man. Just don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out, because we ain't going to miss you.
Oh my God. He's like the fucking guy from Boondock Saints. He just takes a bunch of shit and throws it into one. Why don't you make like a tree and get the fuck out of here?
Oh, you know what they say?
People women in glass houses sink ships.
Well, I've tried to tell you, to give you a fair warning, that your views are wrong. But apparently,
that's me. That's me arguing with somebody.
The only warning you understand is one that takes about 3 minutes.
Wait, does 3 minute warning come out to jump Scott Steiner?
No, that's just they're just fighting in the ring now.
I was gonna say, because like, 3 minute warning, we're liberal. Rosie and Jamal.
So yeah, that's gonna be a new thing we do, where we go back and watch ridiculous things.
That was fun. I liked it. I dig it. That's a fun segment.
Yeah, I don't know what we're gonna call it, but I just want to do it more.
I was digging.
Well, see, I come from a higher educated university.
A higher educated university.
My trash. I gotta dumb myself down. I gotta dumb myself down. Dumb myself down. Your fucking sucks. Right. Sit down, white trash. Bitch. I came here to kick somebody's ass. So all you white trash right now.
So all you white trash.
Get on your knees and pay homage to the next world champion. Bitch. I'm the greatest son of a bitch you ever lived. Shut up.
Can we just get a Scott Steiner soundboard? Can you make that happen?
Yeah, totally.
But I want control of it. Right? And it's just like, first button, entire sacrifice promo.
To the match. Well, see, I come from a highly educated university. That's why I got a college script. That's why I was an All-American.
He said college script. I believe that was supposed to be scholarship.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced he doesn't know what that word is.
But at at Mayhem, I'm gonna give you, bitch, at Mayhem,
you're. Oh.
You know, they say all men are created equal. Because you are no match for the man with the largest arms in the world.
Largest arms in the world.
All right, so that's, I think that's enough Scott Steiner for this episode.
Just this episode, though. There will be more in the future.
We're going to have...
Dude, I would pay money if we could get him on this fucking show.
I just have a new idea for a segment in which we have Drew read, like, random promos, and one of them is going to be the sacrifice promo. But he has to read it just like as if he's
yeah,
never
no,
read it
like,
before.
Like when Birbiglia does the David O. Russell.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to help you, you stupid bitch, to be a fucking collaborator.
Right. All right. We're going to be right back for the final time of the episode. We're going to end it with some good XXL file stuff, but we'll be right back on the Fatitude Era.
Hello, ladies. Are you sick and tired of the standard phone sex line? Well, good news for you. Falsco is proud to present the hardest, hottest, most body-slamming phone sex line ever imagined. It's 1-800-MACHO-MAN. Up into the top of the mountain and I'm about to fuck you right on top of it, oh yeah! For only 69 cents a minute, hear the soothing, sexy sounds of Macho Man Randy Savage talking dirty to you until it brings you to your final conclusion for the 1-2-3 count.
I'm gonna come all over your face, yeah!
Call within the next 10 minutes, and the first 3 minutes are free.
The most death-defying orgasm ever imagined, oh yeah, snap into my cock, oh yeah!
Call now, ladies. What are you waiting for?
The cream always rises into a cream pie right into your fucking beautiful pussy, oh yeah.
All right, folks, we are back to the amazing, fantastic, all-elite Fatitude Era. I'm your host, Jackknife Jess, joined by El Hordano Diablo and the man with the college scripts, Dr. Dewey Dynamite. And...
brother.
So I don't know if everybody knows this, but PB Smooth got like a scholarship together up in Erie, PA, like in his name, you know?
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So check that out. It's really rad. But I want, if this podcast ever makes money, I want to like raise money to put a wrestler through wrestling school, kind of like Wrestle Talk did,
yeah.
But it'd be called the Fatitude Era College Script.
It's a college group.
And we'll get shirts made up for it. Yeah. It's gonna be awesome. So if you're into this idea,
we have to make it a like a really long title, like the Michael Scott Meredith Palmer.
The Fatitude Era in memory or in honor of Scott Steiner and his promos college script. For the cure.
For those who are not created equal.
For those who spell disaster and sacrifice.
All right.
Oh, college script. I need to write that down so I don't forget.
Okay. Well, we are going into the last segment of this episode. That's right, folks. It is time to get conspiracied. That's right. I took a page out of Scott Snyder's book there. Conspiracy.
You got conspiracy theoried.
By terrorisms on 9/11.
I don't even know how to spell college script. Now I don't even know if I know the word.
All right. So, it is time for another exciting edition.
I didn't even spell college script right. I spelled college strip.
College syrup.
I type like Scott Steiner talks.
All right. So.
Like an idiot.
It is time for another exciting edition of the XXL Files.
The XXL Files.
That's right. The XXL Files is where we dig in to Angel Fire's sleaze list, pull out the most juicy of urban legends, and determine whether or not they are true or bullshit.
That's just bullshit, but fucking bullshit.
Exactly.
We have to get Drew a one-button soundboard, and it's that one. But you also have to say it with cheek every time.
Speaking of which,
Oh, nice. That's a fucking sick shirt, dude.
Did you see the tweet he had about coronavirus?
Did you?
No.
Oh, I thought I sent it to you. Do you have it or no?
No, I don't. Right, I have okay.
Oh, by the way, side note, the new Batmobile looks sick. This is what the Iron Sheik said about the coronavirus. I break the coronavirus, all in capitals, by the way, always. I break the coronavirus back, put it in camel clutch, beat the fuck out of it. No punctuation.
Yeah.
No context. Just that.
All right.
And somebody said, make it humble, Sheiky baby.
Right.
But they spelled Sheiky wrong.
Of course. Idiot. All right.
It spells disaster.
All right. So we're going to start this off with a long one. This one's a long
okay.
one. So number 28, there was this dude called John Arezzi who hosted a radio program and did some promoting. He promoted a AAA tour around the U.S. and insisted on using women as a manager for Psychosis because he used to be in love with her. Conan was booking Baja California, and since he was friends with Woman from ECW, he got her to do a small tour around Tijuana, Mexicali. After a Tijuana, I think, show, everybody went back into their rooms. The TJ guys just stayed at home. Conan shared a room with his buddies, and Woman had her own room. Very late into the night, somebody started screaming and pounding hard on Conan's door. He opened the door, and it was a half-naked Nancy Sullivan whose face was a mess. They let her in, and she told them that she got high with metal, and they were about to fuck, but he was so fucking wasted that he couldn't get it up from all the shit he'd been doing all day. So he just started biting her ass really hard. She hit him in the face with something to get him off. He then hit her back, and she just escaped as soon as she could. At this time, Conan was scared because he didn't want to get on Pena's bad side by having an argument with Metal, and he was afraid it would cost him his WCW job if this got to Sullivan. Years later, I told him if Sullivan had found out about it, he'd probably have gone down to Mexico and cut Metal's balls off.
Yeah, probably.
He then said, not really. He probably beats her up even worse.
That's fucked up. I'm just going to leave it at this. Two things. It was in Mexico, so I believe it. And that has nothing to do with anybody being Mexican.
It Are you trying to say with... that they're a bunch of rapists and criminals?
And no,
that
we I'm not.
That we should
I'm
build
not,
a wall
that's
around
not what
them?
I'm saying. I'm saying that shit down in Mexico in the wrestling community is fucked.
Yeah.
I'll just say that.
I'm just giving you shit.
No, I know. And the other thing I was going to say is Nancy Sullivan just never got a fair shake at life.
Yeah. All right. So what do you think? It's true? It's
yeah,
damn true?
I think it's true.
All right.
Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
So that's where I put that sound.
Why did he bite her ass? That's just weird, man.
I don't know.
Some people are into some kinky shit.
Wanted some rump roast, you know. All right. Number 29. Butch Reed has pissed on the carpet and or furniture of every motel he's ever stayed in.
No.
You don't think so?
No.
All right. Fucking bullshit.
That's a lot of bullshit.
That's a lot of hotel rooms to piss in. And you're a scumbag if you do something like that. And I'm a scumbag.
All right. So moving on to number 30. Johnny Valentine would take a dump and strategically place it where it couldn't be found easily, like the inside of bedposts.
Does he bring a fucking hacksaw with him?
Well, I mean, not necessarily, because like some bedposts
pop off.
Well, not even pop off, but some of them are hollow on the bottom. You know what I mean?
That's fucked up. I hope that's not true.
And just doing upper deckers and shit.
Left you a present in the bathroom,
right? Right. So, what do you think? Bullshit or?
It's shitty either way.
It's fucking shit.
Yeah.
Fuck, I don't know about dead. That. Man.
All right, so I'll put in like a fucking soundbite if someone goes, ooh. All right, number 31, Shawn.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Lars Sullivan. All right, number 31, Shawn Michaels supposedly invited three hot girls back to his hotel room. He told them to get all naked and get on their knees. He whips out his ding dong and the girls figure it's going to be a suck fest, but instead he proceeds to take a piss in each of their mouths. Does he? I don't know if Shawn Michaels seems like a golden shower guy.
I mean, there's a difference between Shawn Michaels now and Soma and Painkiller Shawn Michaels, but even then, I don't think that's happening. I don't think it's bullshit? Yeah, I don't buy that.
What do you think, Drew?
Yeah, I think it's bullshit.
All right, fucking bullshit.
Yeah, I don't buy that one.
Fucking bullshit!
Number 35. Apparently, after Jerry the King Lawler first arrived in the good old WWF, a lot of people disliked him for his general arrogant attitude. Hall, Nash, and Michaels didn't take this so well, so at one of the Royal Rumbles, Lawler left his crown in the dressing room to do the Rumble, so the clique decided to shit in his crown.
It was X-Pac.
But apparently this wasn't like a couple of turds in the crown. They apparently filled King's precious crown to the brim with a nice hearty click shit.
I don't believe that. I believe that it was X-Pac. Like, I'm pretty sure they were like, hey, go shit in his crown, and he did.
Yeah.
I've heard that story told before.
All right, so that's true. Yeah. That's damn true.
Oh, it's true!
All right.
It's damn true!
Number 38, Scott Hall took a dump in Sonny's lunch on a tour of Germany in the spring of 1996.
I would not put anything past Scott Hall.
You really think so?
Yeah, I love him to death, but I mean, like, there's plenty of stories out there of Scott Hall being an asshole. No pun intended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, it's okay. True! It's damn true!
Number 46, Lita has been pissed on by Steve Corino and Danny Doring.
I love Lita. There are lots of stories that circulate about her before her time in the WWF.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay. All right, so you're saying that it's true, most likely.
Sure.
Oh, it's true! It's damn true!
Okay, number 53. Apparently, there's a Polaroid from the 80s of Ric Flair playing the skin flute.
Allegedly.
No fucking way.
you don't think so? No.
No, he supported Mike Huckabee in the fucking 2016, or 2012 or 16, whatever Huckabee
But think
ran.
About it this way, though. A lot of times, if you're really anti-gay...
You're gay.
That you get caught toe-tapping in a men's room, so...
Yeah, I mean, I'm not here to judge. I just don't see Ric Flair as the type, but whatever. I mean, if he did, why would you let somebody take a picture? Whatever. And why, if it's a Polaroid? All right, no, the reason that's bullshit is because if somebody took a Polaroid of him doing it and he would have saw the camera flash, he would have ripped that fucking picture out of their hand immediately.
All right, so you're saying
that's bullshit. Yeah.
All right, here's one that's connected to one we just talked about. Number 56, Kurt Hennig was supposedly one of those that shit in Lawler's crown as well.
He wasn't part of the clique, though.
He wasn't part of the clique, but he supposedly did it as well.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised because he's, like, notoriously one of the biggest rippers of all time.
Oh, it's true! It's damn true!
All right, another one about Kurt Hennig. During one of those nitros where the wrestlers had to stay under the ring the entire show, it was at least...
This is true.
Hennig and Scott Norton under the ring. Hennig had to go, and of course he couldn't exactly leave, so he shit under the ring.
Yeah, that's true. And then somebody... ended up having to be under the ring later in the show and didn't know. There's something like that. I can't remember exactly, but yeah, that's true. I 100%
oh, it's true. It's damn true.
All right, number
poor Scott Norton. That's not a guy I'd want to piss off.
Right. All right, number 60. Sheik Adnan Al-Kassi described seeing Andre the Giant screwing like a lion raping a rabbit.
What?
He was saying that watching Andre the Giant have sex was like a lion raping a rabbit.
I don't like that, because who on earth would want to watch Andre the Giant have... I guess there'd be a spectacle.
Immovable object.
Yeesh.
Yeah, let's just don't agree with the terminology. It's probably true.
Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
All right, let's move on. This one is very much requiring the allegedly soundbite. Number 62. According to a referee who was released from the WWF, Bradshaw tied up a wrestler in the shower while he was naked, rubbed baby oil all over him, threatening to rape him until he cried while the locker
Who
room...
Who was that?
Hold on. While the locker room looked on and laughed. I think the victim might have date raped a girl or may have just been not well liked. It was never specified who the victim was other than this happened in like 98 or 99. The guy was a fairly well-known wrestler. I also heard it might have been Brian Christopher, a.k.a. Grandmaster Sex A.
Allegedly.
This is a hard thing to talk about. I've heard that story before. I've never heard that it was with Brian Christopher.
Yeah.
I know that he... You know, speak ill of the dead, whatever. But I've heard he was a big piece of shit.
Yeah.
So I don't agree with JBL's tactics all the time. Mm-hmm. But if he did like date rape a girl and JBL strung him up and rubbed baby oil on him, I don't like the threatening to rape him part. But the fucking with him thing is pretty funny.
Okay. All right. Number 66. Jerry Lawler has
allegedly.
Allegedly, has a well-known foot fetish, and he was once caught by a valet, Miss Patricia, jacking off into her shoes.
Are we sure that was not Tony Atlas?
I was going to say, it sounds like something Tony Atlas would do.
Step on my face! No, don't sit on it!
What do you think I am, a pervert?
a pervert? That is like an actual way he would probably say pervert. A pervert?
Yeah. All right. Okay.
What did they tell him? If he was one IQ point lower, he'd be a banana. Yeah. Wasn't it something like that when we were watching Legends? Yeah. That's true. They told me if I was one IQ point lower, I would be a banana. All right.
Number 68. Very much allegedly. Macho Man had his way with Stephanie. She was about 14.
That, all right. That
14
terminology.
Then. Hold on. And Vince found out, and that was the true ending for Macho Man and WWF.
Bullshit.
Yeah, bullshit.
Don't believe it.
Okay.
Don't believe it at all.
Why?
Because they gave Macho Man, when he quit, they gave him, Vince gave him a very nice on-air send-off. Mm-hmm. Had he been fucking his teenage daughter, I don't think that would have happened.
Okay.
And I also, Macho Man was so in love with Miss Elizabeth, even at that time, they were divorced. I met Macho Man only once, but like you hear many stories about how good he was with kids, and like I think he was a good-hearted person who was just very troubled.
Okay. Now, granted, we don't agree or anything like that. We are just simply giving our thoughts on it. So, you know, we're not saying that it happened. We're just, you know.
Yeah.
It's on the list, so yeah. we're talking about it. All right, number 70 rather. Andre the Giant once called Kamala the N-word, and Kamala stuck a gun in his face.
I don't want to believe that about Andre. That would be unfortunate if that was true. I do not think Kamala's one to be fucked with, though. So I could see him pulling a gun on somebody.
He was reportedly Andre was very nice to Kamala after that.
I mean, I could see, you know, like Andre saying something to him and Kamala be like, what the fuck did you say? Yeah. And then like pull the gun. And so.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
All right. Number 75. A bulldog Bob Brower was pretty open about being a card carrying member of the KKK.
Jesus. Why would you ever be open about that?
Who is this?
Bulldog Bob Brower.
That's old school shit. I don't know. Honestly, don't know. I'll say it's true.
Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
All right, this one's a little bit more lighthearted.
You get some deep cuts here.
At first, though. But then it kind of gets... All right, so 77. Sabu's wearing an I Love Cats t-shirt. He's kicking a bag down some stairs all around the locker room and then opens the bag and a cat comes out.
I don't know, man. I don't want to believe it. I don't want to. I've heard that story more than once, though.
You think so? I mean, so what do you think?
True.
It's true.
I have a fucking tattoo of the guy on my arm. I might have to get, I'm going to have to get that tattoo blacked out, man.
Okay.
Sabu and blackface on my...
Okay, so number 85. Davey Boy asked Dynamite Kid about steroids. Dynamite gave Davey was what was seemingly thought to be his first injection of steroids. The only thing that Dynamite put in the syringe was milk, though.
God, Dynamite Kid was a fucking asshole, man. Yeah. I mean, it's probably true.
Yeah, Dynamite Kid was one of the, like that's the thing.
Like, one of the biggest pieces of shit in wrestling ever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was, allegedly, he would wake his wife up in the middle of the night by holding a gun to her face and telling her, one day this will be loaded. So
yeah, I think Bret Hart wrote that in his book.
Yeah.
And so.
So, I mean.
And I mean, it's not Bret putting himself over. So, it's probably true.
All right. Number 87. At least four people in ECW killed someone.
Only four? Well, it does say at least.
I believe that one personally.
Well, we know for sure New Jack did. That's legit. That's a shoot.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if either of the Rottens did. I wouldn't be surprised if Perry Saturn had killed somebody.
Somebody in Raven's flock, maybe.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's probably true.
Yeah. Oh, it's true! It's damn true!
Number 91, Paul Heyman used to get blowjobs behind the ECW parking lot at 3 a.m. while writing checks.
Checks, yeah, that's true. I believe that's true.
It's true. It's damn true.
Oh, it's true! It's damn true!
All right.
Fuck you, you're wrong!
Right.
Fuck you, blow me!
Right. All right, so we're going to end this exciting edition of the XXL Files with this one. And this one is juicy. Number 92. Stephanie McMahon has a strap on and has used it on Austin, Triple H, and China.
Fucking bullshit!
No way.
You can't see Austin taking a peg?
No. No, I can't. Can't say that I could. No, I don't know.
What about Triple H?
How do you get to be that high in the company?
Do you think do you think it felt that damn good?
And this dildo feels like the game.
I think that I just came. All right, and that is going to end this exciting edition of the XXL Files, and I think that is going to do it for this episode of the Fatitude Era. That's right, folks. If you want to follow me, you can find me on social media. That is located RevJess_FLRadio on Twitter. You can check out my Edgy Boy content show, The Church Absurd, with Reverend Jess and Deacon Sam. On all your favorite podcast platforms. I am second.
Just like how you can catch this show.
Exactly.
On all your favorite podcasts.
Officially now. Officially now. So share it with your
friends.
Allegedly. So share it with your friends. We do want to start getting in more of a following, because once we have that following going, just launched, ladies and gentlemen, patreon.com/thefatitudeera. If you want to support the show, become a sponsor. It's on there for everything as low as a dollar. We have some good stuff available, including show appearances, signed copies of Wrestle Void, all that jazz. So, yeah, if you want to get involved and support the Fatitude Era, patreon.com/thefatitudeera. If you want to support me and help me pay my bills, fiverr.com. You can search I Will Edit Your Podcast Audio for up to an hour. Not an hour's worth of editing.
Just an hour. Yeah. Anything 101, fuck you.
No, but I'm saying audio going up to an hour.
Per 1 hour.
I will edit it.
Basically $10 an hour.
Yeah, $10 an hour. If you want to convert it to MP3 with all the fancy show info in it, that's an extra $5. If you want a logo, that is $5. If you want me to record a commercial for your podcast to promote it, and you could send it to all your friends and everything like that, or play it on other shows, $5. Yeah, so just hook a brother up. That's what I'm saying. Where can they find you, Hordano?
At El Hordano Diablo on Twitter and Instagram. At Above Below ENT, Twitter and Instagram. At Wrestle Void on Twitter and Instagram. Got some cool shit coming up. You can get WrestleVoid at, was it WrestleVoid.BigCartel.com?
WrestleVoid.BigCartel.com.
We will probably have a guest on next week. Probably.
Keep in mind, WrestleVoid, you can pick up back issues, $5 with $3 shipping. Yep. Total of $8 for some really great content. Mm-hmm. And before he introduces where you can find him on social media, Dr. Dewey Dynamite does have an announcement for all of us, so...
Yes, and that announcement is, you know, we are coming up on the just a few weeks away from WrestleMania, and what does make that time of year special for probably me and Jordan is every year the lovely bar in Lakewood, Ohio, called the SideQuest, does a wrestling-themed trivia. And, of course, every Wednesday at 8 o'clock, they do a different themed trivia, whether it be video games, movies, TV shows, stuff like that. But, yeah, this one is wrestling-themed, and that will take place on Wednesday, April 1st. As I said, the start time is 8 o'clock, but we do encourage you to get there a little early, probably like a little bit before or after 7 o'clock. But what does make that special is I did talk to the hostess, Harmony. Sadly, and she didn't give me like the full details, but this will be the last wrestling trivia hosted by the SideQuest.
And that's a bummer.
Right. But if, you know, I mean, of course, me and Jordan will be competing because we are the, you know, reigning, defending, undisputed SideQuest champions of that trivia. But if you can't beat us then, you will have another opportunity. I'm going to promote this here. BJ Colangelo and Harmony Moon, they will be hosting another trivia at All Means Necessary. It's a bar in Cleveland, Ohio, that will take place the day of WrestleMania. And, you know, they'll be doing trivia, like, throughout the show.
Okay.
So, okay.
This is a bar. They did say that... you know, you might want to get there early, or in order to guarantee you a spot there, they are selling T-shirts. Like, they are selling T-shirts. You can pre-order one of those. That will guarantee you a spot.
Oh.
So.
All right. Excellent. And where can they find you on social media?
They can find me on Twitter at AllElite76 or on Facebook at Dewey Evans.
Yeah, and fantastic. That is where you can find us. Also, check out the Fatitude Era on a Tumblr, because we just set up a Tumblr page where we're also posting links to the episodes. But we also have a little history article about the history of the Fatitude Era. Meet the crew if you want to know what we look like and shit like that in our background.
Fat.
Yeah, it's all fat. It's all fat.
Large.
But yeah, and also links to our sponsors and everything like that is all available on the-fatitude-era.tumblr.com. So yeah, also, like I said, we are now available on all your favorite podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play Music, all that jazz, and Deezer and Podchaser and all these other fucking weird ones. We're still waiting on CastBox, but who fucking uses
that? Is
yeah, who uses CastBox? But we are on Listen Notes. In fact, I just recently did an interview with Listen Notes about the show and everything like that. So if you want to check that out when it drops, definitely check that out. Once again, I do want to say thank you to Zach Schildwachter for coming on last week, and hopefully we can have him back again sometime soon. I had a lot of fun with that episode and even more fun editing it, so definitely check that out. And any other special thanks we want to give before we sign off here?
Don't think so.
Nope.
All right, well, I do want to thank WrestleVoid for sponsoring this this podcast, as well as Counting Worm Shop. Definitely check them out if you want to find more links and everything like that. Remember, check out the Fatitude Era on Tumblr. Keep an eye on our Facebooks and our Twitters, the Fatitude Era on Facebook and Twitter.
And Instagram, right?
Yeah, but I don't really update the Instagram personally.
We'll have to start doing that more.
Yeah, but definitely keep an eye on that. So when we have more listener questions and everything like that, you can add your 2 cents and we'll read it out on the show and all that shit. So, yeah, definitely get excited. And also, if you are hosting your own podcast and you're interested in cross-promoting, get in touch with me. I have plans for cross-promotion. So, yeah, if you want to sponsor a segment, everything like that, just let me know. But until next time, folks. We appreciate you taking the time to listen. You are our fans, and we love you very much. But we always say, fuck Jim Cornette, because we don't support him anymore. So we're going to end this with a good old fashioned.
Give me a hell yeah! I said, give me a hell yeah!
This has been a Fat Lulz Radio and Above Below Entertainment production under the umbrella of Lousy Weather Media. Check out more shows at lousyweathermedia.com. Do you know why it's called a taint, Drew?
I do not.
Because it taints your balls and it taints your butthole. Come on. Quit acting like you're better than this.
Me?
Yeah.
I'm better than everything. Have you not learned that?
All right.
We know MJF is better than the kids.
Oh, my God. That is the funniest.
The best was the other kid flipping him off back.
Yeah.
That was amazing. The kid just like...
Yeah.
And MJF sold it. Like, that was good.
Yeah. I mean, realistically, like, I don't know. My whole thing is I still prefer the clip of him flipping off the kid just because he's just sort of like, he's got this, like, look of disgust on his face where he's just like, ugh. Like,
did you ever see the one where, I think it was an MLW show. It was either MLW or Northeast. And he's coming out of the curtain and some little kid touched him and he's like, don't fucking touch me. Just flipped out.
That's pretty great.
Dude's the best. The best heel in the business.
All right. I need to hear some peaks from you, Hordano, please.
I mean, that's probably as high as I'm going to get. I can't imagine that. I don't really have anything to yell about. Leading up to Mania, I'm sure that'll change.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Are you planning a lament?
No.
Are you planning to make him go on a lament? Okay.
No lament.
All right. Drew, how about you? Give me some peaks and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, this is about as high as I go. So.
It's killer. It's killer.
I don't know, man. I'm starting to get clipping from you. I better turn you down.
Turn it down a little bit.
Oh, shit. Okay.
What have I become?
What about come?
I'm singing Judas. It's stuck in my head.
Okay. Like Judas by Lady Gaga?
No, Judas by Fozzy. I only know one Lady Gaga song, I think.
Which one?
Poker Face.
Well, you probably know Bad Romance, too.
I'd have to hear it.
That's the one that goes like, rah, 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 rah.
Oh, yeah, that one's really good.
Yeah.
The best, my like, the moment I can go back to where I fell in love with Parks and Rec is when she's at the gay club and she's DJing. And she's hammered, and she's like, ba 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 boga, ba ba boga. And I was like, "This, I'm in love with this show."
I don't know. If we're talking about Poker Face parodies, I'm preferable to South Park having Cartman sing it. I don't know. I just mainly because I can picture Trey Parker just in the fucking studio, just like wrecking shit while singing it. You know what I mean? All right, I need to watch basketball sometime soon. You ever seen Basketball, Drew?
Oh, yeah, of course, man.
Yeah, it's a classic.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Are you guys ready for this?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Good?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.